Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And tonight, I'm delighted to have on the show James Lights Out Tony.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
James is 67-4 as a professional fighter. And to put that in some perspective, most of these guys, you know, guys you've seen around, your De La Hoyas, your Tysons, these guys, Bernard Hopkins, these guys are in the high 30s, sometimes the low 40s. They're 42 and something. They're 38 and something. This is 67-4. I mean, it's double, pretty much. Yeah. And good to see you, by the way, James.
Thank you very much.
I've never seen Adam quiver like this.
I chickened out. Okay, first we got to set something straight. So I thought, I could spar with James.
You did say that.
It's a dream, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, actually, there are many dreams you have as a young man, but this is a sports related one. But the thing about James is, I've been a huge fan of his for many years, and I've seen him fight in person at the Olympic Auditorium about 10 years ago. James, by the way, campaigning at heavyweight now. And as I said before, only a black man can do this, Drew. Look good at 162, and then look good at 130, at 232. White guy, if you go from 160 to 230, you got stretch marks, you got breasts, you're a mess.
Tubbo.
You're pink. You're producing estrogen.
Your penis starts going inside out.
Your penis actually goes inside of you.
Oh,
white
goodness.
Guy can't. White guy might be able to move a weight division or two, possibly. Like, guy could go from maybe 140 to 148, maybe 152, but you can't fight most of your career at middleweight, super middleweight, and then fight at heavyweight.
You gotta have the genes.
Yeah, and I tell you, I saw James today, and this is a part of what scared me. I saw James today. Now, James not a tall man. James 5'11", 6 foot.
No, I'm only 5'9", to tell you the truth.
No, no,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
5'9", but I pack
no
a big
way.
Wallet.
No
yes,
way.
Indeedy.
All right. I'm not going to argue with him. The point
I advise you not.
Here's a guy. All right, he's 5'9", 5'9". He fights his whole career at 160 and change. How the hell is he going to weigh 230 and look like he's not just a tub of goo? Fighting without a shirt, so I'm sparring today. Solid rock. Rock solid. Scaring. Talking to the guy.
Yeah.
A lot of talking.
Guy gets his head, you know, let him know what time it is. You know, he's going to let him know that I'm the new man on the block, and I'm here to stay. I'm not going to win until I'm ready to leave.
Well, Adam was going to spar with you today.
Yeah,
that's what he said last time.
I was looking forward to boxing with Adam. You know, my man Nick was saying, oh, we got Adam coming down there. He said, Carolla, we saw him at the steak restaurant a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, bring him down. I owe him one.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
They said, you know, they said he came in.
Yeah.
And he left quickly.
Let me tell you what happened. Remember yesterday, Drew, I said I thought I got AIDS or something.
Oh, Lord.
Remember I said I was on my period?
Sick, yeah. He said he has periods, what he said.
Oh, goodness.
It could be Hep C. It could be my period.
You said you have
AIDS.
Your period. He said, I feel like I have my period.
I feel like somebody hollowed me out, took an ice cream scooper and hollowed me out and filled me back in with sand and urine.
Oh, nice.
That's what I
that's
feel
sick,
like.
Man.
So back hurts. It's like I'm having my period or something. Anyway, the point is, I felt like crap, but I said, no, this is a once in a lifetime chance. So I did that thing that I always do, where I went down and I got a smoothie. I said, this is going to fix it. Oh, the drinking, the smoking, the eating like crap. No, don't worry about any of that. You get yourself a nice carrot smoothie 10 minutes before you get in the ring with James Tony. Everything's going to be fine. I drank my smoothie. I showed up. James is in the ring and he's beating the crap out of Scary Guy. He's doing that thing where he's got his sparring partners, but they're rotating.
Oh.
So it's like you know those boxing games where they have the Samoan thug and the black thug and the Mexican thug and all the scariest guys in the prison kind of thing, and you pick the fighter you want. These guys are rotating in and out of the ring.
And he's killing them.
And James is just smacking them around.
And he was on D-Block that day.
Basically,
like,
yeah.
Like we did the Lakers.
He fought everyone on D-Block.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting there thinking about having AIDS or being on my period or whatever I got. I was just watching James, and I thought... And last time I saw James, too, by the way, was at a steakhouse. I don't want to speak out of turn, but James had probably had a couple of cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
I may have had a cocktail myself.
No, Adam, you?
And Nicky was with, people, and I was with little Nicky in there. And
they had their own room, though. They were in their own room.
Of course.
They had that thing where you had to slide the doors into the pockets, and then he would entertain you. But you had to check with someone before you could go in.
Lose steps forward right there.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, the point is James had shed the pounds and just looked chiseled. That is scary, Drew. Scary, I tell you.
Ready to go.
Yeah, ready to go. And anyway, so I thought, discretion, better part of valor. So I thought, I'll just pack my crap. I'll go back to Kimmel's and write jokes. Who are you kidding? But I'd like to do it. I like to do it sometime. Hey. I'll let you get all the rage out on Rydell Booker, by the way, who is fighting a week from today. That is Thursday, and it's going to be on the Best Damn Sports Show. It's going to be shown live on the program, and I don't think they've done that before.
Yeah,
by the way,
this is the first time for network TV live championship boxing. Well, the best heavyweight in the world fighting on TV on the Best Damn Sports Show. It's gonna be a blast. It's gonna be short night's work too.
The heavyweight division is wide open. By the way,
no, it's not wide open. It belongs to me.
Oh, belongs. Yeah, that's
belongs
what I
to me
it's,
right
it's,
now.
It's wide open for him to take.
Yes.
It's yours for the taking.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
and I mean, I think a few years ago, James Toney, who's everyone regards as a legendary fighter, that's Jimmy Kimmel, who was inducted to the Farting Hall of Fame. Did you see it on Sports Center?
No,
it's
that's
huge.
Good.
Yes, Dad cried. It's because I think he farted right before he went up there. But the point is, James Toney. Legendary fighter. I don't know if even huge fans of James Toney a few years ago would have thought of him as a contender at the heavyweight division.
Right.
But he's proved after beating Vander Holyfield, has proved himself a contender at that weight division. And it's in a little bit of chaos up there. I mean, it's up for grabs. After you beat Rydell Booker, who are you looking for? A Klitschko?
Well, that's the main focus right now. It's Klitschko, and first and foremost is Rydell Booker. He's an undefeated kid, and I'm not taking him lightly.
Right.
Everybody think he's gonna be easy, but he's coming to fight.
He's 22-0.
He's 22-0, 12 knockouts. But see, everybody thinks it's gonna be an easy pushover, but I don't. I'm not training for it like it is.
Do you ever? I mean,
back in the past, I have.
You have.
But now, I can't. I can't afford to do that because it's big things at stake. You know, I get past this fight. After I get past this fight, which I will, then we got Klitschko, and that will be crowned the double heavyweight champion of the world.
And there have been, I mean, you have great ability. I mean, the thing about James is a great natural fighter. He doesn't burn a lot of calories waving his arms around. He doesn't.
No, I'm doing that. I'm a real fighter.
Yeah.
I'm old school.
Yeah. Yeah. Slick. And, you know, these guys, he fights a lot of these guys. Like I saw his fight with Vasily Jirov, who's a...
We had fun that night. I wish you could have been there with me.
This guy basically is a European guy, white guy, holds the hands up high, throws lots of punches, and burns tons of calories. Oh. Therefore, he must have twice as much fuel in his tank. You understand? His stroke is so smooth, he barely makes a wake in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And James can go in and probably take some guys a little lighter, not train quite as hard for certain guys, and still get away with a victory, but not anymore.
I can't afford to. I'm too old for that now. You know what I'm saying? I'm much more mature. I think Rydell, like I said, he's in for a whole world of hurt because, like I said, I haven't fought since I had the injury. I'm hungry. I'm starving.
What kind of injury have?
Achilles.
I tore my Achilles tendon.
How'd you
boxing?
Do that, by the way?
Oh, boxing.
Wow. Really?
Spine. Matter of fact, happened the week before my last fight. I went in and threw a left hook. They said, snap. Down I go.
How does that work, by the way? I mean, there's a guy with 70-something professional fights. God knows how much road work getting up at the crack of dawn and hitting the road and everything. And then you just throw a hook, a punch you've thrown a million times, and all of a sudden, pop.
You know, that's just a freak accident. It could happen if I walked down the street. What could happen to you?
Yeah.
Walking the street. And, like I said, it was a lot of work. A lot of hard work getting back together. Everybody didn't think I was going to fight this year. Mm-hmm. They thought we'd be back to next year.
Right.
And I'm a determined SOB.
Yeah.
When I got some of my mind, I'm going to do it. And I just got tired of watching all these so-called heavyweight champions, pretendos, up to try to fight and talk about how they're going to do this and do that. I got to show them what people with real fighting's all about.
Do you think you're going to get Klitschko after you beat Rydell Booker?
All right, Klitschko ain't got no choice. I ain't the number one contender in the world. So, you know, right now, basically, he's living on borrowed time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to get him. You know, it basically, all I got to do is go down the street to La Brea Boxing Gym and go in that gym at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and go knock his ass out.
Yeah, he trains down the street.
No, it doesn't matter. I'm just trying to be cordial right now. But after the fight, I will start steering things up.
Okay. You know, you can get guys, by the way, to fight you if you make fun of them for long enough.
Oh, definitely. I must break you.
Yeah, especially guys that are 6'8 and 260 pounds aren't used to having people screw with them. You screw with them enough, you do it. The guy who beat Roy Jones Jr., I mean, the unbeatable Roy Jones Jr.
He's not unbeatable. He's got, it was a female getting knocked out by another female that night.
All right. Sorry, James. I didn't mean to rally.
All I'm saying is some
people thought that Roy Jones Jr. was a guy who couldn't be beat. And
those people were crazy. Those people, they didn't know anything about boxing.
Well, it'd been a while since he lost.
It's been a while, you know, since he fought somebody who's real. And this time, you know, he paid the price.
He fought the guy who kept bugging him.
Yes.
He just kept going to his press conference.
But he wouldn't fight me, though, because I was bugging him worse than he was.
Yeah, but you're
scared to death of me.
You're scary. Well, everyone's...
You're scared to death of me.
You should be scared of you.
I am.
Okay. Karen? Karen?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, me and my boyfriend are having sex, and...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I started bleeding. Well, we found out after that it was blood. He just thought I was, like, really wet.
Yeah.
And afterwards, when we were done, I saw, like, it was dark, and I was like, oh, crap, it's blood. And then I just thought, or we just thought that I just got my rag when we were doing it. And then they...
Yeah, her rag.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. What about it?
Is it normal to, like, bleed during sex? Because it never happened to me before.
Are you on the birth control pill?
No.
Are you on shots?
No.
He's from the street, Drew.
James
Come
goes
on.
Right for it.
He's no doctor.
Any birth control?
No, I don't take anything at all.
Anything at all. Well, it can happen. Sex can sometimes generate bleeding. It's not uncommon.
It is weird, though, when the lights are off and you're like, boy, this chick's excited. And then you look down and it's like, oh, Christ. That's horrible. That's like a horror movie when you wash yourself off in the sink.
Godfather.
Like the close-up of the drain. Crap going down there. Yeah, that's a good look.
Same with the producer with the chorus.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, we got a... Steven's got a boxing question. Steven?
Yeah. What's up, Drew? What's up,
17. What's up, man?
Go,
Steven.
Who's
going to
win between Hopkins and De La Hoya?
Oh, Hopkins, look at me. It's going to be a tremendous fight. I look at two scenarios. I look at if De La Hoya can fight the boxing pro fight like he did against Trinidad, but fight the last three rounds and box effective, he will win. But if he sit there and try to stand toe-to-toe with Bernard, he's going to get knocked out.
Well, Hopkins is...
he's a tremendous fighter.
By the way, he's like got 18 successful title defenses.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. De La Hoya doesn't get the credit that he deserves, though, as being a pretty tough champion, too.
De La Hoya is a good... He's a great fighter, but if you put De La Hoya against the fighters of the 70s and 80s, he wouldn't last a minute.
Oh, really? You think those guys were better?
Hearns.
Well, that's true.
Would ate him up like he did Pepino Cuevas, one or two round blowout.
Well, that's true.
You know,
that's an interesting
Roberto
thing.
Roberto Duran would have chewed him up.
It's an interesting, it's interesting, which is, you know, when you go back and look at sports, in most sports, you go back and look at football from the 70s, a bunch of 190-pound guys with their socks around their ankles running around, rapping guys, and now, you know, a bunch of guys, you know, flying 20 feet in the air and throwing forearms. And so in basketball, the same way, a bunch of white guys in shiny shorts throwing the ball around.
Tight shorts.
Yeah, tight, shiny shorts with belts, ironically. I don't know, you got the world's tightest shorts. I don't really need a goddamn belt to hold them up. But the point is you look back 20, 25, 30 years ago in every other sport, and you go, there's no way they couldn't compete today. Too small, too weak, too whatever. Boxing, you look back on, you know, your Muhammad Ali's or your Hearns, Thomas Hearns, Duran, Hagler, and you go, these guys 20, 30 years back would be competitive today.
Real fighters.
And maybe part of that is just the weight division, too. That in football, they just keep getting heavier, they keep getting bigger, just keep bigger and stronger and everything. There, 160 is 160. You know, you take a guy 30 years ago, 160 with no fat. You take a guy today, 160 with no fat. You got to do the math. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. James, how would you have fared back 20, 30 years ago?
Well, see, I'm an old school fighter. I can fight any decade.
So you say do okay?
I'll do perfect. I'll be a champ of the world like I am today.
I just wanted to make sure. What position Sir Francis of Tarkington would have been playing?
Fran
Tarkington was a great quarterback.
It was, but he was 5'9".
But he just couldn't win. He just couldn't win the big one.
That's all right. I'm just saying, here's a guy who's, he's 5'8". He's 150 pounds. He's got a comb over. I mean, a quarterback's now like 6'8". They're 240 pounds. Right. I mean, they're just throwing those lasers down the field.
And they crybaby shoot them. They get a little pinky. They want to go to the doctor.
Yeah, those guys were tough. They take the needle back then, Drew. And by the way, in boxing, what about, you don't hear about steroids that much in boxing. I know Vargas got busted for steroids and was put out for a year. Mm. You always can tell in boxing because you're doing it with your shirt off. You see the guy in his last fight, he doesn't look so great, and then all of a sudden 6 months later, he's got muscles coming out of the back of his neck. But it doesn't seem to help that much in boxing.
You know what, because in boxing, you can't put steroids in your chin.
That's right.
You know, the chin is the most important thing. If you ain't got a good chin, you won't last in this game.
Right.
And, like I said.
And they test, right?
Yeah, we test for everything in boxing.
They do the test. One time a guy got stripped of his belt for testing positive for marijuana.
Francois Botha.
I had to give the guy another belt.
Juan Gonzalez.
He's smoking pot and he's in there. First off, could you imagine being high and walking out to the ring?
No.
You would freak, right?
Yeah.
Immediately just slide into the crowd and grab something. With no sound. Really, the guys who test, I'm telling you, there's performance-enhancing drugs, right?
Right.
The steroids are performance-enhancing, the blood doping, all that. So they test for it because it's unfair to the people they're competing against for performance-enhancing. Pot doesn't help anything.
Pot don't do nothing.
Quite the contrary.
Look at Ricky Williams.
Yeah, pot just makes you want to eat and not do your road work.
Yes, and make you forget about an $80 contract.
Yeah. Alarm goes off at 5 a.m. It's time to go do your road work. You're stoned. Forget about it, right? All I'm saying is using the logic of performance enhancing, if a guy's high, we should give him a couple rounds. You know what I mean?
A few extra bucks.
Yeah, give him another belt. Big hemp leaf on there. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 22?
I am.
What's up?
All right. So my entire life, when I was like, whenever I get hit with something, I never, ever bruise. Ever. Mm-hmm. And ever since I changed to the Nuva ring, every couple weeks, I get bruises like crazy. And I was wondering if it had anything to do with that.
Explain what that Nuva ring is, by the way.
It's a birth control tone. Birth control ring you put inside.
Yeah. Right. And let me tell you something about James Toney. He wants Klitschko so badly he would fight him in a Nuva ring.
In the Nuva ring.
In the Nuva ring.
Nice.
Yeah.
Your Nuva ring.
There's arguments about 18-foot ring, 20-foot ring, guys want bigger and smaller ring. He'd fight him in a Nuva ring. Yeah.
That's how small it is.
That's how small it is. Yeah. Yeah, what about it, Drew? So that
can happen. Are you bloating or hanging on to fluid? Are your breasts getting tender or anything like that?
Oh, my goodness. My breasts are so tender all the time now, and they never were before. Well, I wouldn't say all the time, but at least every couple weeks they get so tender I can't touch them. They hurt so bad.
All right.
You okay with that, Adam? It's all
right. Yeah, as long as I can look at them. It doesn't hurt them to look at them, does it?
No.
All right.
It's just like they're uncomfortable even in my bra, and it's just not...
All right. Well, maybe you should get off this new
ring. Yeah, you should talk to the doctor about it. It sounds like this isn't working for you.
Okay.
And don't worry about the bruising. It doesn't necessarily mean anything serious.
Okay, so it's probably... Do you think it has something to do with the ring?
Oh, I do. Why should you have two problems simultaneously? Yes, you should have a blood count down. You should have something called a ProTime, but the fact is, it's probably the medicine.
James, you have kids?
Oh,
a family?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many?
Can't tell you that.
Like 30? Like, what do you got, a ton?
Well, about 10 of them.
You don't hear about that.
That's right. I got to keep my, private life private.
Yeah, like Evander Holyfield you hear about. Well, Evander talks too much about God. That's why people start looking
Evander's
under him a little bit.
Though. He's a hypocrite. So,
yeah.
Hey, that's why I had to do like I did him.
He's, that's why I had to beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, Holyfield's thumping the Bible and thumping chicks at the same time. It's like he's got three, four different sets
it's
of kids.
It's a technicality, Adam. He's relaxed.
All right.
He sees his way out of it with technicalities.
Yeah. But you beat Holyfield. Aren't you worried you might go to hell?
Nope.
Okay. Not at all. Just want to check that.
Not at all.
Why would that send you to hell?
Well, because he loves God.
Oh,
so
I see.
It's like beating God up.
So do I, but I just don't go to church every Sunday like you do.
And by the way, talk about performance enhancing. How about kissing God's ass, getting in good with him, and then going in the ring? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
That's an unfair advantage. If you think about it, I'm an atheist. I don't stand a chance in there. I'm lucky to just get whacked in the head, have some vessel burst, and just go into a coma and be dead before I hit the ground.
Welcome to Kid of the Day.
That's what would have happened today. All right, James lights out Tony in studio tonight. Not only a great boxer, but a great humanitarian and a great individual. James,
thank you very much.
A legend. 67-4.
We forgot
everybody.
To mention that Against the Rope was based on his life.
Oh yeah, yeah. He had one of the first. Well, I don't know if it's one of the first, but...
She was the second female manager. The first one was Becky O'Neill. They keep on forgetting about her. She's a nice little lady from Philadelphia.
Yeah, a Jewish female manager. I remember seeing her when I saw James fight at the Olympic Auditorium about 10 years ago. It's crazy. Just all hair and nails climbing into to the ring. James. All right, so that movie was with Meg Ryan and who was that?
Omar Epps.
Yeah. Omar Epps. Loosely based. On James Toney. James is going to be fighting this Thursday, 1 week from today, on Fox Sports West. He's going to be it's going to be broadcast live on the best damn sports show. He's fighting a guy, Rydell Booker, 22-0. So no walk in the park for James. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Buddy, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Here tonight with legendary boxer James Lights Out Tony. 67-4. Soon to be 68-4. Fighting 1 week from tonight. This Thursday, and it's going to be live on the Best Damn Sports Show.
Right.
And he's fighting Rydell Booker, who's 22-0. And then... going to be looking for a Klitschko, namely
Vitaly.
It's tough because one's Vladimir and the other's Vitaly.
They both suck.
You always got a hiccup. Yeah, well, one doesn't suck as badly as the other, and that's the guy who's got the heavyweight belt right now.
And the game is over.
James got to get it from him. Yeah, now see, the problem is that's a tall guy. He's 6'8". Yeah, he's a lot of Drew. You want to drag out the cardboard? Drag out the cardboard picture of him. We'll keep a cardboard picture of him here in the studio.
Awful. For what?
Well,
the hell you want a picture of him for?
Well, now that's a good question. Now,
look at this guy's picture.
When you see it,
got the breasts on him.
Yeah,
got the lipstick on him. The eyeliner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good picture of him.
Yeah, what happened is Lehman Brewster came in here and he drew on it.
Man.
So the point is, and by the way, if Klitschko ever comes in here, we got to hide that thing. Really.
No, if Klitschko come here, make sure you call me so I can put the post out for you.
Yeah,
I got you back.
Then guard us.
Adam, I got you.
We'll just hide that.
I got your back.
I don't really need you to beat him up. I just need you to keep him busy for long enough for me to get to my car.
Gotcha.
That's all. And then what happens after that's what happens.
Don't
I can't be responsible for that. I'll give two toots on the horn when I'm driving
there
down Venice.
Go.
Yeah, that would be a nice fight. And the thing is whereas this guy's essentially a super heavyweight. And, you know, heavyweight, there wasn't a division. You know, it was once you got out of cruiserweight, you got into the heavyweight division. Right. And guys used to fight at the heavyweight division at 218, 215, 195. You know, Muhammad Ali, probably half the dudes Muhammad Ali fought were in the 200-pound range.
Right.
He would, you know, what's his name? Trying to think of...
Saying Liston.
Well, Liston was probably a little bit heavier. But
Foreman was big.
Foreman was big, but Foreman was still 226 when he fought, you know, Ali, and considered one of the bigger heavyweights. Because all I'm saying is now these guys are 265 and they're 6'8". There's no longer, so there really should be a super heavyweight division.
I don't think so.
You don't want that.
No, I don't want that because you don't need that.
Why not?
These big so-called big guys,
right?
If they're big and bad, bring their ass to me.
Right. Well,
James Will right here. They just got a little borrowed time in it.
James is slick, and that's the whole thing. And these guys are big and clumsy, so I think James's plan would be to out-slick them.
No, my plan is going to just knock them straight out like I did Holyfield.
Oh, you do the slick part, and then you knock them out.
Yeah, because you know I sit there. I don't run from nobody. Like I told you, Adam.
No,
like,
you don't run.
You start a fight with Holyfield. I stand right in front of him.
Yes.
And Holyfield's one of the greatest fighters of all time. You know, he made Lance Lewis hold and dance on for three fights.
Right.
And what I did to him was candy, playing with him.
Now, James is a natural boxer, and he's very slick and very hard to hit, and he doesn't have to run around and dodge you. He stands right in front of you, and you miss him. And then he hits you, and then he wins. James, that's how it works.
I get it. Exactly. That's why you didn't fight him today.
Caller James. Yeah, well, that, my period.
Yeah, your period.
I looked down into my sweats. I was spotting.
Oh,
it was very
Lord.
Embarrassing.
What's wrong with this guy?
I went to the bathroom to find a tampon dispenser.
Hey, stop it, man. You're killing me.
Yeah, I had to stuff a pad into my low foul protector.
Nice.
Oh, Lord.
Let me tell you something, too.
Hey, what's wrong with this guy, man?
Let me tell you something, too. Guys look scarier sparring than they do in the fights.
I'll tell you why.
Sparring, yeah. You see them in the fight, they're wearing the silk trunks and the silk robe, and they're sort of cleaned up a little, and they're fighting in a nice place, a lot of good-looking blonde chicks sitting around, and the ring girls, and Michael Buffer's there, and it's sterile. You see them in the gym, there's duct tape on the canvas floor, there's blood everywhere.
Oh, that's the workplace,
baby. The guy he was sparring was wearing a T-shirt, looked like the operating table, so the blood and guts and parts, had part of his nose, he had an ear on there, something. And, you know, James is sitting there. You wear the low foul protector, the cup belt thing. You wear it outside your trunks when you're sparring. Yeah. So you look sort of disheveled, but crazy disheveled.
Right.
And you're wearing, like, cut-off sweatpants.
Yeah,
and you're wearing the headgear and stuff. You look like a
maniac,
lunatic.
Yeah.
You look like a maniac. Yeah.
That's
not the shiny stuff. Yeah, so you look that much scary, and then the environment is scarier. It's like you're fighting in a cave.
Because everybody's
somewhere.
Looking at you.
Right.
All eyes on you.
Yeah. James talking and whacking guys in the head. And plus, I heard stories about James, too. People are like, oh, yeah. You never know. You know, you get that kind of, you know, that's the thing that scares you the most. Yeah, like they, you know, they go, oh, you're going to move around with James? So, yeah. Oh, okay. You never know. I mean, he likes you, right? Oh, well, you never know. See, that kind of stuff scares you. Caller James?
Yep. Yeah.
What's up?
Well, hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Good.
My question is, if I drink and then I have sex that night, could my sperm possibly get, if the baby was to conceive that night, give it fetal alcohol syndrome?
Your drunken sperm.
And if that were true, every kid would just be walking around with a hockey helmet on and drooling into a cup. We'd all have it.
Woo.
Everyone gets pregnant when they're drunk, right?
And you're saying if only you were the drunk one, if she was straight?
Right, if I was the drunk one, because my wife will let me have sex with her when I'm drunk, because she thinks that that I could transmit fetal alcohol syndrome.
That doesn't happen that way.
And
in fact, it doesn't even happen if she were drunk either, reality is, because look, people have this very bizarre conception that concept that conception occurs at the moment of intercourse. Like the sperm is released into the vagina and moments later I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
The fact is the pregnancy actually develops on average about 1 to 2 days later.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's know that.
Now with Holyfield.
I learned something.
Holyfield happens the day before. Yeah.
The egg is sitting there.
He actually gets him pregnant before he actually has sex with him.
The sperm sits there for up to 3 days, waits for an egg to be released. It's rare that the egg would just be sitting there waiting.
So you're saying your stuff sobers up while it's waiting?
Yeah, the workout of swimming up, scream like that.
Yeah, sleep it off.
Yeah, they just work it out. Sweat it out.
You sweat it out. Yeah, you go sweat it out. All right, so if you're drunk, your sperm's not drunk, right?
Well, it's just either going to work or it's not going to work.
Yeah, because that's all I need. Because I do a fair amount of masturbation when I'm drunk, and I don't need you. Oh, big man, beating off again. Imagine your sperm coming out drunk. Hey, loser, how'd the date go? Yeah, the date went so well. What am I doing on your sock? Come on, let's order pizza and get some chips up in here. Imagine your sperm talking smack after it came out. Big man.
Well, first it'd be, what? Outrage.
Now you're walking to the toilet with the cleaner. Hey, buddy, come on now.
Hey.
What? I thought we had something.
Hey, Adam, you talking about everybody in the room over there.
So nothing gets drunk. No, sperm will not get drunk.
No, well, I can get a pair, but not drunk.
How about a booger? Could you get a booger drunk?
Oh, goodness.
No, booger. They don't usually talk
about. Come on, you whack people in the head for a living.
This guy, man.
Jay?
Yeah.
What's happening? 23.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. When I was about 10 to, well, between the time of 10 and 12 years old, my dad's sister, she molested me.
Wow. Your dad's sister.
How old was she?
Yeah. She would have been, probably about in her, 22, 23.
She was 22 at the time, molesting an 8-year-old, 9-year-old.
I know. Okay. It's weird. And then my cousin on my mom's side, she's 3 years older than I am, and she also would do things to me when I was at that age. And
a female cousin?
Yeah.
Wow.
And my mom and my dad had a talk with, my aunt and uncle and stuff about it and whatever. And
had a talk
they wanted to know what was going on because I went to my parents with it when it happened, and at that age, I really didn't, know.
Right. Did you have sex with her?
Well, no, they would touch me and they would, make me do things to them.
I know it's not a factor, but it's easier. It's a less bitter pill to swallow if she was hot. Was she hot? let's face it, it helps. Here's all I'm saying is this, and I know it sounds horrible, but if she came into the room and was a big fat pig with a clamp-on earrings and chewing gum, be like, you poor dear, you were traumatized. And if she came in and looked like Nicole Kidman, people would be like, all right, kid, well, let's move on. I mean, we can get over it, right? I mean, it is true. It is true as guys. Yeah? All right. Where was he?
What?
Line one? Jay?
Okay. But the thing is that ever since then, I don't know. Normally in cases like this, when you're traumatized like that, with something like that, don't you normally, you're not as more tendency to want to have sex and do stuff like that?
You can get hypersexual.
It can speed you up or it can shut you down.
Or you can fluctuate back and forth.
See, with me, I want it all the time now.
Yeah. It really kind of wires up that part of your brain and then puts a supercharger behind it, basically.
I have a girlfriend right now, and we had been with her for about a year and 4 months, and we started having sex about 2 months ago. And before it, I had a girlfriend. Before her, I had a girlfriend for 3.5 years, and we had had sex about a year and a half after we were together. And it wasn't like it was a big deal with her. We just did it occasionally, and now this girlfriend.
Listen, 23-year-old guys are going to have sex as much as they can with whoever they can have sex with anyway.
Well, but if you've been a trauma survivor, sometimes you can never be satisfied. It's always more.
That's the thing. I feel like I'm never satisfied.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how about a little therapy?
Well, that's the other thing I was thinking about. I obviously could go to probably, would it be like a sex or just a regular therapist?
It's regular.
Regular therapist. But are you an alcoholic or is that alcoholism in your family?
No. I don't drink at all.
But is there any of that in your family?
My dad he isn't a drunk, but he drinks probably every day he drinks.
So it's possible you've got the combo here of addiction and trauma, which results in sexual addictions.
Yeah.
So you could consider SA also as a way of.
All right, but you got to get a little therapy if your aunt's coming at you that way.
That's wild. And cousin, but different sides of the family? Where does that?
That's just white trash there, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's
you didn't tell the story about what they look like, how old they were, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. It's going to get sad.
Crazy, man.
Jay?
Oh, yeah.
Were they ugly? I mean, it makes a difference.
It wasn't pleasant. Let's just say
it wasn't. And would you have to do oral sex on them?
The one that was 22, yeah. She would have me, like, groping her and doing something, like, fingering her. And
wow,
like
it's just incredible to me.
And it's weird because, like, she's married and she has 4 kids now.
Oh,
and like,
no.
You see her on Thanksgiving?
Oh.
Well, it's kind of hard. No, we don't really, because my dad doesn't get along with his family. So.
And what is it your parents wanted to know about it? They sat down and had a little discussion about this?
Well, they didn't find out about... My dad didn't find out about his sister until probably a lot, like after the stuff happened with my cousin. It kind of happened during the same time. It was weird because it wasn't connected at all, really. I mean, they didn't know each other, either side of the family. And obviously my cousin's, she's only a few years older than me. And
yeah, but once you've been made a victim, the other victimizers sniff it
on you.
They just see it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, all right. Well, bad times, as we like to say over here. But Jay, he landed on his feet.
He'll be all right.
He'll be fine. He'll get a little therapy, work it out. Still not as bad. I don't believe it's as bad as if it was a woman doing this to a guy, a young girl doing this to an older guy. You know what I mean?
The older guy was abusing the,
a better 10-year-old guy.
And yeah, many, it ends up kind of the same place, though, doesn't it? It's interesting.
Yeah. There's parts of the world where 10-year-old guys get going, you know, that age. Yeah. James, when did you lose your virginity? 10?
11.
I mean, I could see you grew up in you grew up in Detroit, right?
I'm a veteran. See, that's why they call me Dark Gable. I'm very able, man. I take care of business. Ain't no showstopper for me, baby. I'm trying to tell you.
Dark Gable.
Goddamn right. Say it again.
Dark Gable.
There you go.
Well, wait a minute. Who came up with Dark Gable?
It's me, Dark Gable, Prince of Darkness, you know, Count Chocula. I'm all that. Whatever you want it to be, I'm that. I can't help it.
Let's ask. We got a quick question for James Lights Out, Tony, or James Dark Gable.
There you go. I like there you go.
Tony, Paul.
Yeah. What's up,
you're James? Dirty. What's up?
Hey, you're awesome, dude.
Thanks, man.
How long before you get the knockout, Klitschko?
We're talking about April.
Oh, in April?
April's gonna be the date. April, somewhere around April 7th, somewhere around there.
Now, is that that big payday fight?
Oh, it's huge.
Have you done okay?
We're doing good.
I mean, in your career, and you've been boxing for what, 20?
18, this is my 19th year right now.
19 years of professional boxing.
We're doing good.
And you've made money.
Doing good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Here's the thing about boxing. It's all over the map. I mean, there's guys.
But certain fighters make certain money. Some fighters, a lot of fighters don't make everything like you think.
It's like radio.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but
no, it is. You'd be surprised and angered to know that Drew A makes as much as me, which doesn't seem fair at all. But B, they're guys that are doing this shift at night are getting $30 a night.
$30 a night.
Not us. We're getting $33.50.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So James, good. You're making money. Good, because there are guys who've had long careers, had a lot of fights, names you've heard of, who didn't do very well, and a lot of guys just threw their money away too.
Yeah,
right?
But see, you know, you gotta be diverse. I'm a diverse individual like Dark Gable, you know. Mm. That's my alter ego. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the.
Do you save your money? Do you invest your money?
Yes, I have investment counselors and everything like that.
So, you do? Good. Yeah. Smart. Let the Jews handle it. Black man will do the fight and let the Jews take care of the money.
Listen, black man right here, it's smart, because, you know, that's why I said the Dark Gable production is coming into play. I might put you in the film.
Please. Please put me in your movie.
Yes.
Please.
Definitely.
What is it? What's the movie about?
Adam Carolla Does L.A.
Yeah, good. Now I have to be in the movie. Dude, otherwise, I'm suing. About. We'll take a quick break. James, Lights Out, Darkwing Duck.
No, Dark Gable, baby. Dark Gable. King of Chocolate, all that. We'll be right back.
Schlong Tony is in the hizzy, and we'll be right back after this.
Good night.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. James Lights Out, Tony, in the studio tonight. 67-4. And then a couple of draws, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is...
Avenged, though. Avenged.
Avenged draws. Avenged. 70... didn't win the fight. Shot the guy in the parking lot. 70... So what is that? 73 professional fights. And that's active because a lot of guys fight once, twice a year.
It should have been more, but I retired for 2 years.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh.
What years did you retire?
From 97 to 99.
And what'd you do while you were retired?
Got fat. Strip clubs, pizza, steak.
Sure.
Crab legs.
Yeah.
Good life.
Yeah, I wonder if, by the way, you know, fighters, they're wired a certain way, which is when they ain't training.
Going the other way.
They're going the other way. Yeah. Oftentimes. Yeah. And that was the old you, right, James?
Going the other way to the food place.
Right. But not anymore.
No, well, basically, because I'm at where I'm supposed to be at in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
I've always been a heavyweight, and I'm very comfortable here. I think right now, I'm just starting to show my real skills.
Yeah, and saw him with a shirt off today, Drew. Looked good. Unfortunately, I was spotting and lactating, so I had to leave. I sprung a vagina when I walked into the gym. James was scared. He was yelling at the guy he was beating up.
Yeah, I said, make him fight me.
Come Poor on, guy.
The guy had been calling for me for 2 weeks, so you know.
Really?
Yeah. So
Which guy? The Mexican guy or the black guy?
The black guy.
He been calling for you?
Yeah, he been talking about him for the last 2 weeks, so you know, he got what he wanted.
Really? Calling for
it? Actually, like I said, there's a saying going around that says, be careful what you ask for because you might get it. Right. Well, he asked for it and he got it.
Yeah. I think that was part of the ring conversation, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I talk too in the ring. It sounds like this.
Sound like Nick, man.
Eric? Caller goes by the name of Eric.
There you are.
Yes?
Yes.
25. What's up?
Hey. I've been listening to your shows. I like you guys a lot. I was just wondering, every time you get a call, somebody, the first thing you ask is, were you abused? Were you alcoholic?
I mean, that's all we do. Yeah.
Are we ever wrong?
No, but it seems like that's the solution to all the problems. I mean, you were abused, yeah, go get some therapy. I mean, is that for real, or?
Yeah.
I mean, I have plenty of problems, and I was never abused. My family wasn't alcoholics. I mean... Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
What kind of problem do you have?
Me, I ain't got no problems. But I wasn't abused or I wasn't alcoholic.
Right, listen, jackass, don't call the show anymore. What are you, drunk?
No, I'm serious.
What's your point? You call the show, you have no problems, but you have problems, you were never abused, we ask everyone if they're abused.
Well, I just listen to the problems that people call you for, and you always say, well, were you abused?
I know, but...
Because that's the source of their problems. That's why they get locked...
What is the reason why you call them?
That's why they get locked in these patterns of repetitive abuse. They're reenacting their original abuse. We're just bringing that to life.
Here's the thing.
And it's something that takes years to treat. So to think that we could treat that in a minute and a half on the radio is ridiculous.
Well, no, but here's what we do. People call and they want to talk. They say, look, I got a piercing, you know, going through. goes in my ass. It comes out the urethra of my penis. And I now want to do one where I want to staple my scrotum sac to my forehead. Is that safe? And instead of us talking about stapling the guy's sack to his forehead, we try to get at the root of the problem.
Yeah, why you're interested in stapling your scrotum to your forehead.
All right, it turns out your uncle took you down to the basement, molested you for 14 years, and now you think it's a good idea to staple your sack to your forehead. We'd rather address... Here's what I'm saying. Instead of going to the... Here's what I'm saying. Instead of getting out the mop, we'd like to stop the leak.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. You could get out the mop every time, but why not just stop the leak?
And by the way, you're usually looking for us to endorse behaviors that are so destructive that it doesn't even make sense to even talk about them.
All right. I'm just saying, and I don't mean to come down on Eric, but I don't know what his point is.
Yeah.
All right, I'm mad at him now. Eric?
Yes?
You come down here, and James Tony going to give you a beat down, all right?
I would like to go and actually see him fight.
All right, well...
for you guys. I like you guys a lot.
Okay, you're calling... TV. You can watch Best Damn Sports Show on Thursday, a week from now. They're doing the fight live, something that hasn't been done before.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
All right, watch that.
That's all right. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Everyone's a good guy. But here's...
Why has it never been live fights before on TV?
Well, they do them on TV, but they've never done a TV show that way.
It's the first time it's ever been on a big TV show like this.
Huh.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's big. It's been in everything. I mean, the publicity we're getting from it is great.
Right.
I think, you know, it's going to break all records. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a quick night. So, you know, I'll get your butts out there early.
Do you have to get, I mean, the show's an hour show, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to get the fight in an hour? Or?
Well, you know,
you know what I mean?
They'll replay it.
Yeah, no, the no, fight, you know what I mean? Well, the fight, is it how many rounds?
It's 12 rounds.
12 round fight.
It won't go that long.
It's not going 12.
No.
No, but if it was a 12 round fight, you just go 4 times 12.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you got your time there. What is that? Like
48.
Five days? What is it? 48. It's still in under an hour. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Got it.
It's going to be a good show. You should come on. If you can't make it out, just tune in to the Best Damn Sports Show because I'm the best damn heavyweight, period.
Yeah, now you're going to start fast?
I'm going to start very fast. Don't start very fast, Adam.
All right, see.
I'm talking about don't start fast in the bedroom, pimp.
I start slow and then go to stop. That's what I like to do. That's my move. I start it slow, I go to pause, and then to stop.
There you go.
Those are my three phases. And then I actually start backing up to the point where it becomes the calendar starts going the wrong direction. James, lights out, Count Chocula, a black Gable.
Dark Gable.
Dark Gable.
Dark Gable.
Black Gable if you want to.
Blackula.
There you go.
Tony is in studio tonight.
Studio.
He's going to be fighting 1 week from today. Guys, 22-0. The guy's fighting, so no pushover. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. James, lights out, Tony, in studio tonight. 67-4. Fighting 1 week from today on the Best Damn Sports Show, period. And he's fighting a guy named Rydell Booker. Jewish guy, I'm guessing, with a name like Rydell Booker. Yeah, I mean, you would assume.
Sure.
22-0. Rydell is, 22-0. Hard to argue with. But he's going to have himself a loss on his record.
Oh, no doubt. It's definitely.
Maybe two. You know what? When James is through with him, he may be 22-2. He might if you beat the guy up bad enough, can you give him two losses?
Oh, he might just do that.
Yeah, so it'll be 22-2.
Tonight.
22-2, and James will be inching closer towards 70 professional.
It'll also be the debut of Lights Out Boxing, my new promotional company.
Oh yeah,
yeah, doing some co-promotion with dudes from Tudor, so you know, big things are happening. Big
oh,
things.
Really?
Big
All right. Things. Well, I will be watching and cheering. Cheering at home, Drew. And I will do that. Let's get back to the phones. James is going to be here for one more segment. Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You're 20. What's up?
Well, I got hair growing up, I guess you could say, the sides of the shaft. I wanted to know if there was any easy way to remove that that's safe.
It's bad times.
Bad time.
That's like ivy going up a drain pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much like that.
Hey, Matt, you calling from Michigan?
I certainly am, sir.
That's James' home state, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
I'm not a huge follower of the boxing, but I've heard your name many times, man. Much respect.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, by the way, when someone doesn't follow
a sport, from?
Knows you. Yeah, where
are you from?
I'm from about half hour outside of Detroit, Plymouth.
Oh, yeah, you're right on the corner from Ann Arbor.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Skip it a jump.
I go to school in Ann Arbor.
Okay, go to the University of Michigan. All right.
Or Northeastern Michigan.
Nah, University.
hey, Matt.
Yeah, what's up?
So you got, you called. you got hair growing on
your penis. I don't know
if
any of these laser techniques would be used on the penis.
Yeah, that's what
could.
I was wondering. I didn't know if it would be safe or whatnot. You know, that kind of, I don't know, there's something about lasers and my penis that don't mix, you know what I mean?
No, I understand that. It's sort of a painful procedure, too. So I don't know offhand if they would use the genitalia or not, but I bet they do.
All right. Well, you don't want to shave it, right?
Well, I mean, it's kind of the only option at this point. I mean, it's not
you're
gonna
need
like
your phone there, right?
I'm sorry, man.
Got sideburns going on or something like
Woo!
That.
All right, how about, you know, you're gonna need some waxing. You need a bikini wax.
Go to the next place.
But that's gonna come right back, though.
What are you gonna do? Let me tell you
something. Might as well shave it every day.
All right, but let me explain life. First off,
what's life?
Explain life to
Please.
You and James.
James, listen carefully. He's leaning in.
First off, If you got a nice car, you got to wash it once a week, right?
Exactly.
You got to throw a coat of wax on it.
You
got to put some armor on it. You got to take care of it. What could be more important than your penis? That is the Ferrari of body parts. You understand?
Or the Miata in your case.
But go ahead. All right. You had to pick a gay car. You couldn't just pick a small car. You had to pick a gay car.
A Mini.
All right. Okay, thank you. In my case, the Mini. Right.
The point is
you got to take care of that part, and if that means you got to maintain it a couple times a week, once a week, put a little wax strip on there, then so be it. That's what you've got to do. And that's what he's got to do. You don't want to take a laser to it. You don't want to shave it.
Yeah, but why not?
Why? You'll have sex with a chick with a 5 o'clock stubble. You give her.
Oh my goodness.
You'll turn her inside out. Yeah, you tear her up.
Like a hamster.
That's right. What?
I don't know.
Like a hamster. That's my point. The point is you gotta either pluck it or you gotta wax it. That's what I'm saying. All right. Marina?
Yep.
You're 24?
Yep.
All right, what's up?
Well, I just started seeing a guy about 2 weeks ago, and immediately started getting intimate with him. Aside from the fact that alcohol was involved, I was just really, I am really gaga over him.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Didn't have sex, though, till the second week. We just got intimate and fooled around and whatever. Yeah. Anyway, aside from the sex, we get along absolutely great.
Aside from the sex?
What's wrong with the sex?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with sex.
All right, so you have good sex, you get along with him. What's the problem?
Well, the problem is I want to make sure or have some sort of signs of whether he is in it for just the sex and for, you know, for the good time, and then he'll drop me.
How old is he?
32.
Mm-hmm. 32-year-olds are usually past that just for the sex stage, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah, I was past at 32, and, you know, I got married, and I'm looking to get back
Take
into it.
Take it back up, yeah.
But
I mean,
months.
if she said 22, I would say, well,
yeah,
that's what he's in
well,
for.
Also, let's just try to figure out what this guy's got going for him. Because, hey, okay, here's what I say. Let's put it this way. It's sad but true. Guys will do about as much as they can do with as many people as they can do it with. Now, Drew, you don't have this problem because your wife's listening and you won't admit it, but here's what I mean. It's like, here's what guys will do. Guys will be with the same woman for a long time, all of a sudden win the lottery, get a sports car, and all of a sudden they're banging their secretary. You know, it depends. Guys are, you know, the reason actors,
that, by the way, is why you wait till later in life
but,
to see where you're
yeah, but the
where
reason,
your, what your
the
position's
reason professional
be.
Athletes and actors aren't faithful to their girlfriends is because they can get other chicks. I mean, oftentimes that's what happens. Once in a while. No, James doesn't know. James, no, boxers never do this.
Never.
No, I mean, when I say professional athlete, I mean golfer, polo,
bowling,
swimming,
lawyers.
Lawyers.
Curling.
Curling. There's a guy. Those Canadians.
The broom
guys.
Especially.
Yeah.
Drivers.
Yeah, I mean, those types of guys. Yeah, I'm not talking about your black fighters.
Oh, never.
No,
or basketball
never.
Players.
We're so innocent.
No, not basketball
never.
Players.
Never.
How
dare you?
No, and I'm sorry if you inferred that at all. I apologize. I want to apologize.
I'm
going to
tell you, I'm really hurt by that.
I'm sorry, buddy. I spoke out of turn.
Yes, you did.
James got a career in acting. I swear to God.
He really does.
He's got to give him a new career.
He really does.
You guys really upset me.
I'm sorry, buddy. If I could turn back time and take that back, I would do it in a heartbeat. I really would. And of course, I didn't mean boxers. But the point is guys will do as much as they think they can get away with. Now, you show me a guy who's got a nice ride, a nice pad, who looks good with his shirt off and has a good gig, I'll show you a guy who might not be ready to settle down at almost any age.
Who, if he's there, also could be ready to settle down, and Marina could be the one.
She, all right. Could be. Marina?
Yeah.
What's he do? What's his job?
He has his own business.
Yeah. Does he make money?
Yeah.
He does.
He does.
Do you work for him?
Does he what?
Do you work for him? Do you work for him?
Oh, do I work for him?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Totally right. Different.
And he makes a good living. What kind of car does he drive?
yeah.
It's a nice one.
What kind?
Yeah.
What kind?
Mercedes.
Mercedes. Oh,
does he talk about other girls? Is he still dating other people?
No, he wouldn't talk about other girls.
Well, as far as I know, he's not.
Uh-huh. What do you mean, as far as you know? Have you had this discussion yet?
Does he look good with his shirt off? Because when guys stop working out, it means they're ready to get married.
Is he hairy?
No, he looks good with his shirt off.
He looks good with his shirt off.
Is he hairy?
Is he hairy? Well, he shaves. He could be hairy.
Uh-oh. That's trouble. If he's shaving, by the way, when you're primping, when you're plucking, when you're tanning, when you're shaving, when you're armor-alling, it means you're looking for chicks.
Yeah. Where does he live?
Where does he live? Beverly Hills.
Nudist colony.
Where?
Beverly Hills.
Where does he live?
Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
Oh, sucker.
Where'd you meet him?
At a bar.
At a bar. Oh. All right. So he's a smooth talker. He's got a nice car. Yeah. And he shaves his chest.
We did have that conversation because I know I'm young and a lot of older guys think that, you know, well, she's too young for me. Well, let's see what I can get out of her because she's young anyway and I wouldn't marry her.
How old are you?
24.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you had this conversation and what came with it?
Well, he said, yeah, I'm looking for someone and whatever, but that was what I was expecting. Of course, I wasn't thinking he's going to say, no, I'm just here to screw you.
Right. All right. Is he wearing any jewelry? He's got that. No jewelry.
Bling, bling.
All right.
She's calling our show.
That's so good.
That's a strike against her.
All right. Listen, Marina. Don't get pregnant.
No.
All right.
You still need to have the talk with this guy. It's because you got to at least get it clear to him that you're beginning to have more feelings than you would wish you'd had.
Yeah.
And that if he's going to screw you over, you might as well understand what his intentions are and you can make adjust accordingly.
You got to worry when guys try and when guys are keeping up with themselves. I mean, James.
At 32.
James, a professional athlete, he has to stay in shape. That's his business. Oh. But regular guys, when they start working out, I'd say the number one thing, if you were with a guy, especially if you're married to a guy or dating a guy for a long period, all of a sudden he starts working out, something's up.
I don't know about that. He might need to get healthy. Yeah, guys are on and off with that.
You see, James.
If it's a guy's never worked out before.
Here's the difference between me and you, James. You see the good in people and then try to kill them.
No. Shut up. Look. Now, if a guy, if his health is declining, when you go to the doctor says, you got to do something to get yourself better.
Yeah.
All right.
He might go to the gym.
What if the guy has worked out all his life and kind of lets it go and then gets it back again at some point? Yeah.
Like myself, I did it before. I let it all go, boom, got 275. Look at me now.
275.
275.
Wow.
275 packed on a 5'9 and probably still look better with a shirt off.
Not like Roly Poly. Yeah. That was a donut.
I don't know, but see, when black guys get the rolls, it looks like muscle that's just taking a nap.
Yeah.
Hey, I look like big
boy.
You
don't get pink and stretch marks. Our nipples get bigger and stuff, you know? We have big frisbee size areolas. We're a mess. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm coming back as a black dude next, Drew.
There you go.
That's going to be my move. Yeah. I'm going to make sure everything's cool and then just come back as a black guy. And you know what? I'm not putting a shirt on. I'm walking around with my shirt off. I'm dead a winner.
It's good.
Shirt off.
There you go.
All the way. I don't care if I get a job as a lawyer. I'll put the tie on with no shirt. Just no shirt. All right. Where are we, Drew? All right. So here's my point. Oh, yes. Guys can work out, of course. I'm just saying if you're with a guy who doesn't seem interested in working out for a number of years
right,
and all of a sudden he's hitting the gym and looking at himself in the mirror, that may be a sign.
Yeah.
All right.
Whenever guys are behaving themselves, watch out. Basically what we're saying.
When they're doing what?
Behaving themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever it is.
That's right. Amber?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I was just wondering if there's any health risks with this. I have this form of masturbation where I like to lay down in the tub and let the water pulsate over my vagina and my clitoris. Uh-huh. And I was just wondering if that, like, there's any, like, if that can, like, do, I don't know, if there's anything health effects with that.
Yeah, is it all right with you, James?
Man, I need to go help her. I don't see nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, I'm sorry, Doc.
No, it's good, James. No, yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's a preferred method, as a matter of fact.
It's
certified.
It couldn't wash your essence out, you know?
No, not get your essence out. I suppose if you really had a firm, you know, sort of intense pressure, you could get a urinary tract infection, but that's about it. Or you could burn yourself. You said it was hot water, but...
Well, you'd work that out. How often do you do that, Amber?
Whenever I feel like it.
Well, your boyfriend.
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
What a boyfriend.
Yeah, where's your boyfriend?
I don't have one. It's like a guaranteed orgasm in like 30 seconds.
Oh, it's time for Doc Gable to come over there.
Yeah. Black woman.
Yeah.
He communicates with fish and with vaginas.
I'm trying to tell you.
All right, so guaranteed orgasm, 30 seconds, and really, once a week, twice a week, what are you good for?
I'd say probably twice.
Twice.
That's too much.
I'm trying to think. She's out in Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona. I'm out there all the time.
All right, swing by her pad. Should be the place the water coming out of the front door.
Yeah, the water
cascading down the driveway. You know, I swear to you. So you know, we always talk about, especially Phoenix. It's a desert, and there's droughts, and water conservation always a big deal. And here in Los Angeles, same thing. It's a desert. It's water conservation, and they're always telling you, hey, turn the sprinklers off,
or
don't
water.
Run them at night. Don't run them during the day. Don't wash your car off with the hose. You know, don't wash down the drive with the hose, blow it out. How about, hey, teenagers, quit beating off in the tub. You know, guys go in there, they turn the water on so mom thinks they're taking a shower. Then they spend 20 minutes beating off in front of the toilet. You know what I mean?
Adam,
meanwhile, that's beautiful
Adam,
water going
a new
right
PSA.
Down the drain.
There's a new PSA here.
Ooh. I could do it.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Adam Carolla. This is my partner, James Lights Out, Tony. We're trying to knock out teenage masturbation.
Oh.
Hey, we're not. You want to beat off in bed? Fine. You want to do it in the closet? You want to do it in the entry
but
hall?
But don't do
fine.
It in the shower.
That's right. That's good potable water just going right down the drain. And if you think about it, teenagers just go in, they turn the faucet on, and then they go in there and they go at themselves.
Somebody
yeah, well,
20 minutes.
Well, yeah, they do that all the damn time.
I know.
And they got to stop that.
Meanwhile, we got a drought.
That's it. PSA right there.
Good combination.
James is going, you got to stop that.
James Tony's lawn is turning brown because you teenagers won't quit beating off in the tub. And again, we do that thing where we do, you know, knock out water waste, you know,
yes.
Because whenever it's a sports thing, you got to, if it was
but
baseball,
you need an effort, like, you know, turn off the tub and pick up the sock, you know, some.
Right, yeah. right.
Man, I can't get with this girl masturbating this in the tub, man.
Yeah, the guys do it like that, and then the girls. This is a thing I learned from this show, James. Many women do this in the tub.
Well,
many
I
women.
See this.
Our producer does it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, everyone except for my mom. And
oh,
James,
man,
James
I don't hear that.
No, your mom neither.
Hey, you except for my mom, dog.
No, I'm saying
she does, my mother.
I'm saying she doesn't do it.
I don't care if she.
Oh, what up?
I don't care if she do it. That's
don't
on her.
Say the S word.
I don't care.
I'm saying I don't care either. I'm not saying she does or she doesn't.
You just say whatever James wants.
Whatever James wants his mom to do in the tub is what she does.
Oh, Kevin's mom or Juan, whoever mom, I don't care.
That's what I know.
Here you go.
Unacceptable.
Mike?
Okay.
You're 23?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
You want to marry your girlfriend?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm talking to you guys. You guys are so awesome. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Mike.
You're gay.
No, you're
silly. True. How dare you?
I didn't say that.
He said he was getting married.
Right, what's up, Mike?
Not too much. I just wanted to call and get your advice on my situation. I've been with my girl for a really long time and like to ask her to marry me, but like there's something that I've been keeping from her, and
uh-oh.
I don't know if I should bring it up or not.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a... I was really young at the time, and I got arrested for petty theft, mm-hmm. and...
What'd you steal?
An ascot. The kid's gay.
No,
a USB like, port.
So
what'd you steal?
A couple of DVDs and stuff.
So DVDs.
Just selling it for money. I just kind of...
Right. All right, so you have a misdemeanor, and what?
Well, I mean, you know, it totally straightened out my life, and, like, you know, I just graduated, and, like, I'm on the right track now. I'm applying to dental school and trying to...
Wow.
You know,
going to
do
dental
the right
school.
Thing.
Cool.
All right. So what?
So I just don't know if I should, like, even bring it up to her or, like...
That's the past, man. Leave it alone.
But I don't see why you would be... Is she squeaky clean and you idealize her and you're afraid that she'll somehow...
Yeah.
I
told her just recently that I smoked pot once and she kind of was kind of freaked out about that, too. And so
it is,
like,
by the way, his one-time smoking was from 16 to 22.
One time for 8 years. Hey, Mike, why are you going to marry this prissy chick? This sounds so uptight for you.
No.
You're a wild man. You're a dental school student. I mean, you're out of control, buddy. You're like a biker, you know, with your floss and the water pick and everything.
Well, you know how it goes. I don't know. She's just awesome. She's a really good girl. And,
you did not smoke pot just once.
No, really, just once.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it good to you?
What's that?
Yeah.
Was it good to you?
I don't know. Yeah, I was at a friend's house, and it was...
All right, but hold on a second. You're going to dental school.
Well, not yet. I'm applying.
You're applying to dental school.
Uh-oh,
by the way, you really want to do that? Crawl inside of people's mouths and all
good,
that?
It's a good life.
It is a good life? Yeah. Really? Scraping the plaque off people's tongues and having them try to talk to you while they're all numbed up? And
if they're interested in that stuff, it's pretty cool.
Who's interested in that stuff?
It's procedural
stuff.
He
is?
No, I wouldn't want a job. You know, I want a job where people want to see me. You know what I mean? The dentist, people are angry when they show up.
Yeah, just kids are that way. Adults are fine.
What? I'm 40. I'm angry at the dentist.
Oh, that's you.
Mike?
Yes.
All right. Well, look, I think she's too uptight. I think you ought to slow it down.
Well, no, wait.
Here's what
you need to do. Mike, here's the deal. You don't idealize her so much. She needs to be able to accept who you are. And, you know, to hide parts of yourself because you're afraid of upsetting her sort of unrealistically rigid expectations, that's not a good relationship. You got to lay it out, who you are, all your warts and, you know, sores and whatever. And if she loves you, she'll accept all that. It's not like you're somebody who's prone to, you know, spiraling out of control. You're fine.
All right.
Right.
All right,
Mike.
Thanks a lot for the...
Yeah, don't hide stuff. It's all right.
Let me tell you, before I got married, I told my wife I'd pee in the sink.
No, you did not. You saved that till afterwards, and she's been freaking about it ever since.
She wants a divorce.
She would not have married you if she knew that.
Well, again, I'm conserving water. That's my whole thing. I don't want James Toney to have a dead lawn or a Escalade that's covered with a coat of dust. That's all I'm saying.
Let me tell you something.
Together we can knock out the drought. Knock out the drought.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you are.
There's the PSA.
Hey! Everybody clap for that one.
James Toney. James Chocolate Thunder Count Chocula.
Another one. Dang, Chocolate Thunder. I like that one.
Dark Gable. Tony, Lights Out Tony, is going to be fighting 1 week from tonight on the Best Damn Sports Show. He's fighting Rydell Booker.
What time it is?
It's about 5.
In the ring at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock Pacific time?
Yes.
In the ring, 5 p.m., 5:03 should be, he should be home, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I should be home by 5:30.
5:30.
You're gay.
Not even
by the time you all done with all the ring announcements and all that,
sure.
Time to work, bam.
Right. All right. James, Lights Out Tony, an honor to finally meet you and have you on the show.
Thank you, Adam.
We'll have you back soon when you're fighting James? Klitschko, perhaps.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Where the hell did the week go, Drew?
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of weird that way, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what it was. By Monday or Tuesday, it was like, oh, when is this week going to end? And now it's, wait a minute, tomorrow's Friday?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we got a lot to do between now and like Sunday, and I'm sort of dreading it.
What do you got to do, Drew?
Just a lot of patience and kids running around.
All right. Yeah. Okay, buddy. Find some time for you.
Thank you.
Have Calgon take you away.
Yeah, bubble bath. That'd be good.
Do a little masturbation in the tub. I want to thank James Lights Out Tony for coming in here.
He was an interesting guest.
Yes, I love the guy. He has a great personality and a great boxer, and always entertaining in and out of the ring. All right, so look forward to that fight 1 week from today, and we'll talk to Lee, who's 24. Lee?
Yes.
What's up?
No, I just have a thing whenever I... Well, whenever I masturbate, I'll ejaculate, and it's like really watery, almost like urine, but I never have an orgasm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But something will come out of you, and it's not just lubrication, it's not
right.
Moisture.
Honestly, the first time it happened, I thought that I couldn't control my bladder.
I think that's what is happening.
No, uh-oh. But I investigated. It's not that.
How did you investigate? Pray tell.
I checked it. I smelled it, and it's a little sticky. It's
a little not, sticky,
but it's
a little viscous.
So watery.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would think, how can you, without the muscular contraction of an orgasm, it's hard for there to be anything.
Well, no, my muscles contract.
I see. So you're sort of squeezing something out just prior to having an orgasm.
But it's a lot.
Yeah, that's you.
And how... How does it come out? I mean, is it, you know, like wiper spray? Is it like a super soaker, squirt gun? What?
Well, it just kind of comes out. It doesn't squirt.
By the way, how come I knew we would never? The answer to that is that it just kind of comes out.
Mm.
By the way.
It's a lovely caller. That's how you know.
You know, it's the radio. People, you paint a picture with words, everybody. I'm trying to figure out.
Could it be like a urine stream, or does it seem like
I don't even know what I'm trying to figure out anymore. But it seems like if it sort of just dribbles out, I could see her doing it without having an orgasm. If it comes sort of blasting out, it seems curious orgasm.
The other thing is that usually it can come out in like rhythmic pulsations, you know?
Right.
Is it coming out in repetitive streams or single stream?
How does it come out, Lee?
It'll come out a little bit at first, and then it'll be a lot.
Just how?
What, describe how? The stream.
It's like what?
The love of Christ, how?
It's like it's peeing, but it's not. Like, it's a spray, but it's a weak spray.
Like a stream like urine?
Right. I want to strangle. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to strangle the callers, and then I'm going to strangle myself. Can you kill yourself by strangling yourself, Drew?
I'm sure you could.
I'm going to try.
But
here's the point. You know, the question is, how does it come out? And I believe me, I'm not so stupid as to just ask how does it come out, because the answer would be very nicely, thank you. I have to say, is it like a wiper spray? Is it like a squirt gun? What kind of stream does it come out? And, of course, first you get, a lot comes out.
It just comes out.
It just comes out is answer number one. Number two, a lot comes out, and then a little bit. Really? Just can't do. Well, what is that about people, Drew? And how do they not know what you're asking?
My guess, she studied rhetoric in college.
What? Please tell us how it comes out.
It's a pouring out. It's like if you took a glass of water and then you just poured it out slowly. It just pours out.
So it's not no sort of rhythmic pulsation.
Wow.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
That's just out.
Yeah, that makes sense, because when the muscles contract, you can squeeze those glands pretty good and squirt something out.
That's pouring out.
Yeah, that's fine. That makes sense.
All right.
Are you able to have an orgasm?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you able to have an orgasm at all?
No, I've never had one.
All right.
That's wild.
You with a guy? You got a boyfriend?
Yes.
Oh, I totally screwed up, Drew. I forgot. Is James Tony left the building? Yeah.
Why?
Okay. It's Rosh Hashanah. I meant to wish a guy happy Rosh Hashanah.
He's never going to speak to you again. You know how they get.
It's like one of these things where now he's in his car. Now I remember. I think he was angry.
You get him a Yom Kippur.
Okay. I feel like an idiot. James, if you're listening, buddy.
Happy New Year, James.
Happy Jewish New Year, buddy. Happy New Year. Yeah. I mean, just New Year. Happy Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry. This is so obvious, so stupid. Yeah, I got caught
it's
up
obvious.
In the record. I was plugging the fight.
It's just, when things are obvious, it's hard to.
Is my face red?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should be.
All right. Let's get back to the phones and speak to Cheryl. All right, so Lee, nothing wrong with you.
She's got to keep working on things. She should be having orgasms. That's kind of weird that she's not.
All right, wait a minute. Lee?
Oh, she hung up.
All right. Lee was one of these chicks who was, first off, I'm going with hot chick, and I'm going with not as hot as she thinks she is, but hot chick. And I don't know quite how to say it. There's certain people out there who think they deserve more than they've earned.
Oh, you think she was that? I didn't get that from her.
Well, no, I just mean a little like, hey, what's going on? Hey, why isn't this happening?
Huh.
Not totally, but a little bit.
I just got sort of underdeveloped.
and the thing about that is for women, if you're pushing, you know what it's like? It's like trying to put a thread through a needle and being in a big hurry and being aggressive about it. It's like you got to stop, you got to shake your hands out, you got to hold it up, you got to move very slowly, and there's no really forcing it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Orgasms that way. Yes?
Well said.
And don't go into every sexual encounter thinking tonight's going to be the night. Just have a wine cooler and relax.
She was using a vibrator, though.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Nice. Cheryl?
Hello.
What's up?
Hi, boys.
Hey, Kara.
So So I have a problem here. I just recently found out that I have BV. And
just we're not using all these alphabet soup.
Okay,
it's bacterial vaginosis is what she's talking about.
Oh. James and I were going to do a PSA for BV as well as the drought thing.
Knock out the BV.
Knock out the BV. Really?
Lights out on BV.
Who decided, and I know it seems obvious, but every single time they have some, athlete, there's a guy from the Dodgers, and they always get these athletes to do these public service announcements, and it's like, hit a home run and with your family by, okay, that was cute the first 700 million times we saw it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Good hire pro.
Let's just go ahead and do something else. We get it. You play professional baseball. Yeah. And by the way, do you talk that way all the time? Just hitting home runs.
You think I look like a cigar sir Indian?
I know. Cheryl?
Okay.
All right.
So I found out that I have this, and I was just wondering whether or not, what the amount of time or how long I have to wait until I have intercourse again with my partner.
How are you being treated?
Yes.
How are you being treated?
I actually went to...
How are you being treated?
I had some antibiotics.
Which antibiotics?
God, I don't remember. Something that starts with an M.
Okay, metronidazole?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so you couldn't drink alcohol while you were on that thing.
Well, that'd be a deal breaker.
That'd be
done
for you.
Yeah,
he took that for a week. Did your boyfriend take it also?
Actually, no, that was the thing. I am not really altogether sure whether or not it was him or not.
Well, you're cleared up right away from the antibiotic. I mean, it works very, very quickly. So you could have sex right away. The problem is, though, if you had been having sex with him, he also could be harboring the bacteria now.
Passing it back and forth.
Yeah, you're supposed to treat him too if you've been treated. So, you can go ahead and try to have sex, but he may give it back to you.
I don't. I wouldn't take medication where I couldn't booze.
I know that. I wouldn't even begin to think of giving you something like that.
Vagina could smell like a compost heap.
And your vagina.
Vagina.
Yeah.
And as I learned, I had today. By the way, I didn't know I had a vagina. Then I went to the gym.
Well, you asked me about your period yesterday.
Saw James Stoney sparring, and I got scared. And I was not feeling 100% true, as you know. Well, I've complained to you.
Yeah, dysmenorrhea.
I have some. Yeah, I think my cervix is tilted, actually.
Yeah.
You pansy. Well,
uterus.
Uterus, yeah. It's on the, it's akimbo. It's
John.
Yeah, John.
16.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
What's up?
I am Jewish. I'm actually calling because you guys just brought up Rosh Hashanah, but... in Judaism, in the Torah, it says you're not allowed to waste semen. And
what exactly does it say?
I don't know the exact words, but
what's the Torah? Is that the Old Testament?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, right. You're not allowed to waste semen or sperm, which means no masturbation.
Isn't it something of the effect of it can't be spilled on the ground or something?
No, it's just you can't waste it,
unless you might want to look it up, just so you can stay consistent with your faith.
All right. Yeah.
Anyway,
there you go.
So unless my intent is to have a baby, which it's not.
No, and John, what's the plan here? Because God takes it out of you during the night, and it gets wasted that way if you don't take it out of yourself.
Well, but he'll pass over your house. Drew, what's that one called? Where he passes over the kid and doesn't give him a wet dream.
Oh, no, you have to put the sperm of the lamb out in front of the house.
You put the sperm of the lamb out on the front door, and that's God passes over. It all makes perfect sense. It really does. Anyway, John.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm this summer been taking my religion a little more seriously. And
sure.
I don't know, because I don't think it's really practical.
You're a virgin, right?
Yes.
No, it's not possible, John. Seriously, as a physician, you will have nocturnal emissions.
No, I understand that, but I guess it's more like the intent.
Okay, all right.
Well, if you think of unattractive women, I think God's easier on you. You know,
But what's your question? What is your question exactly?
I just want to know what you guys think I should do.
I mean, should you follow the letter of your faith?
I think you beat yourself to a pulp, and I'll see you in hell.
God.
Well, listen, John, here's the problem with all this nonsense.
Well, now, wait a minute.
All right.
Wait, think about it.
Look, I love the Jews. God bless the Jews. They have, you know, they have a comically novel religion, but it keeps the kids together and the family. Everything works out.
Well,
it works
that is
fine.
The point. That point was actually made very clearly in South Park the other day when they were talking about Mormonism.
Yeah.
Is that these things work for people, and they keep them focused in a way.
That's right. You know, all right.
So don't, let's not disparage these things just because they...
Well, and then here's what I want to say. If you're going to be devout and you're going to adhere to the tenets of your religion, then no beating off.
No beating off.
Now, that's the thing.
But from our standpoint, we don't see what you get out of that. Maybe you want to...
But let me just say this. Let me just say this, all you nut jobs with your crazy religion. If that's what you are, I mean, if you're Muslim, if you're Christian, if you're Jewish, whatever you are, born again, whatever, or Jehovah's Witness, whatever it is, you picked your kooky religion, that's your religion, feel free to follow it to the letter of the law and enjoy. And then shut up. That's it. That's your thing, then do it. And shut up. Go read the kooky cookbook that whatever your religion espouses, and then follow it to the letter of the law, and I'll be enjoying myself. That's what I'm saying. Well, but follow it. You got to follow it. It's your religion. You cannot pick and choose the good stuff you like. It's not a religion buffet.
But I think things are sort of open to interpretation, and you can kind of... That kind of thing.
Of course. Just swing it in your direction. Let me tell you this, though. I was... somewhere. I was down like the Fairfax area today.
Little Ethiopia?
No, it was little Jerusalem. Oh. And I was down there. It's there, like the Hasidic Jew part of town. And
there is a little Ethiopia sign as you go down Fairfax, right?
Yeah.
Between here and the part you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead.
And by the way, do we really want to live in a city with no little Italy and a little Ethiopia?
Los Angeles, yeah.
And by the way, it shouldn't be little Ethiopia. It should be tiny Ethiopia.
You're
because
right.
it's there's three doors, and it's just a bunch of flies. It's a mess, this place. But okay, here's the point. I'm down at where the Hasidim are chilling, and the Jews are there and their families, and they're all Hasidic Jews. And I see this kid. He's like eight, and he's got this do where his head is basically shaved to the point, you know, marine haircut, short, you know, buzz cut on the top part, and then it's real long on the side because he's got the payos, you know, and he's wearing he's 9 years old, he's wearing a black suit and a black top hat, and I thought, no, not child abuse. At what point do we start calling this child abuse, by the way? My kid gets some secondhand smoke, he's going to be taken out of the house. You shave your kid's head and dress him like he's in the mafia, and fill his head with a bunch of retarded crap, and he's got his you know, curls hanging down past his jaw. I'm sure he's getting his ass kicked at school every other day. What? No? 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 That's good? That's a good thing. Can't say anything about that? That's fine. We're essentially indoctrinating him into a cult. Is there a big difference between that and a cult? What's the big difference, by the way?
No leader.
It's one thing.
guy having sex with the women.
It's one thing to have your religion, have your faith, fine, believe what you got to do, it's whatever keeps you sane. I understand. But, you know, when you're shaving the kid's head and putting him in the crazy outfit and he's spending, you know, not plugging anything in on a Saturday and spending X amount of hours a day, you know, kneeled down facing Mecca or wherever the hell you're going, whatever your nutty religion is, but that's a cult. That kid is being indoctrinated into a cult. That's it. And by the way, all cults are is they're upstart religions that just don't get enough momentum. I don't know. Take a look at them in 100 years. Maybe they'll be a religion. What the hell did all this stuff start as? Started, you know, a few thousand years ago. There were five people. I'm sure it was called a cult. All right. Anyway. Happy Rosh Hashanah, is what I want to say. And no disrespect. I love the Jews. I think as far as kooky religions, they got the number one because the families stay together, everyone loves each other, and they, you know, push everyone through college, and they do right. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
That's fine. They don't blow anything up. Once in a while, they try to defend themselves. Anderson, what is that phone ringing?
Anticipation of the calls we'll be getting tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll take a... No, I love the Jews. I'm like an honorary Jew.
Oh, you are.
Oh, yeah. We'll take a quick break.
I'm a Jew.
And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love line. I'm Adam Nitz. The good doctor, Dr. Drew. Ooh, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, next week, I think we're going to have Sarah Silverman on the show. A delight.
Dean Cain.
Beautiful. Dean Cain. By the way, Dean Cain, one of the nicest,
yeah,
genuinely nice guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Friendly as hell.
Yeah.
Hate that guy.
Hey, Corolla.
Hmm.
Speaking of Sarah Silverman, I saw a promo for her today in LA Weekly, I think. She had a Hitler mustache.
Oh, really?
What's she doing?
The name of her show is like Jesus is Magical, I think.
And Jesus is Magic, I think, yeah.
Jesus is Magic. And she's just standing there, you know, with a Hitler mustache. It's like a good picture of her, but she's cut the Hitler mustache.
Is this a stand-up thing she's doing? Or?
Yeah, I think it's like a live show.
We will hear about it next week.
I was talking, thank you, Anderson. I was talking about that a couple of weeks ago, that if all the footage I see, all the World War II footage, all the footage of all the German guys and everything, foot soldiers, generals, everybody, all I do is go home, watch the History Channel, I get drunk, and I think we got to bomb Germany again. That's what I do. I sit there with my bottle of red wine, I'm like, and they're like, and then they march 6 million Jews to the camp. I'm like, we're not done with you. We're coming after you, Germany. We're going to give you a good one. So the point is I said, all the footage I've ever seen, never seen a guy with a Hitler mustache but Hitler.
Right.
And until a few weeks ago when I did see an infantryman with that Hitler mustache, and I thought, what abuse he must have taken from the rest of the guys in the regiment. Hey, Colonel Kiss Ass, over here. Nice. And you know, he's trying to do that thing where he's going, hey, what do you mean? I was sporting the Hitler mustache a long time. This is way before Treaty of Versailles. Come on now. Go look at my high school. Look at my high school yearbook. I'll show you that it's in there. Junior year, over at Helmet High. I had the Hitler mustache. Hitler got it from me. Besides, I think it looks good. And by the way,
stylish.
I just realized, like, and you know, people like said, well, maybe, you know, it was a slap in the face to the Fuhrer to sport the mustache.
Right.
It never is. It's
always a compliment.
Yeah, Nehru put on a Nehru jacket, and so did all of India. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You do that. Jackie Kennedy put the pillbox hat on, and so did all of the women in the 60s. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah.
And people go for the haircut. They go for the look. They go for the suits that their beloved leaders
had. So what you're saying is that this one was so wacky.
Hitler's stash was so effed up that people wouldn't even go for it.
Right.
And he would probably, I imagine probably talking to some of his generals, like, hey, how's the stash? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just not coming in. Wife made me shave it. You probably could have scored some points if you would have gone for the Hitler mustache.
Now, the other thing, that was a period of history where clean shaven was routine, right? People did not have facial hair.
Yeah.
Think about it. Back then, everyone.
It was a weird, it was especially in that part of the country, the world, I should say. But also here, you didn't see guys in the
certainly not with the handlebar mustache.
Late 30s, early 40s with the stash of the beard. And nobody, and maybe, by the way, it was even a regulation in the military that you couldn't have facial hair.
That sounds dramatic, right?
Hitler had that soul patch on top of his lip, and I saw a guy riding in a half track and footage. I TiVo'd it, I ran it back.
Still have it, TiVo?
Hitler mustache. Yeah, it's the way I labeled it.
How would you shave that? How would you shave that anyway? Do you just go to the edges and that's it?
How do you shave Hitler's mustache?
I mean, how do you shave it?
Very careful.
How do you grow it in?
I don't know. I'm going to work on one. Or we'll ask Sarah Silverman.
Did he do anything here?
I don't think he did anything in the middle. Well, Sarah Silverman will come on next week. We'll ask her how she grew in that Hitler's mustache.
Good.
And Rich Eisen's going to be in here from the NFL Network. Very, very good sportscaster next week as well. Steve?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
Yes, I've been dating a stripper for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been living together. We moved from Arkansas to Arizona back in January.
For her career?
No. Actually, I got her into stripping because my whole family's in it. My younger brother's wife is a stripper. My older brother has his own male review.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Review.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Do you do any stripping yourself, Steve?
Yeah, I'm gonna start stripping here pretty soon, about a month, as soon as I get my abs in.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So you gotta get into shape, right?
All I gotta do is get my abs in.
Yeah, okay.
I don't look, you know, stupid or anything.
No, you know, the last thing you want is to go out there with the, you know, the love handles, maybe a big zit on your back.
The whole family and stripping, it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is me and my older brother, we don't do steroids. It's all natural. We do, you know.
Yeah, I know. No, a lot of the strippers these days are on the juice.
What is your question?
My question is I'm thinking my girlfriend is cheating on me because whenever she first started stripping back in like February, she took a guy home and stayed the night with him and everything else, and I haven't trusted her ever since.
She's not cheating. No, how dare
a stripper takes a guy home
from the
club?
Yeah, a DJ.
Oh,
because he needed a ride home, and I told her. And the thing about it is,
he needed a ride home.
Is she doing drugs?
Hey, oh, son of a back at Steve's girlfriend. Businessman's lunch. To the some go, some blow. Tammy, stage four.
Is she getting involved with drugs, Steve?
No, she's never done drugs or anything in her life.
All right. Well. All right. Steve,
sorry.
We're short on time.
Not a good situation.
She may have cheated. Oh, yeah. That DJ, he needed a ride home. Maybe, what I'm talking about?
Yes.
All right. I don't know what to say. So you're dating a stripper or you're married to a stripper, your family stripped. Okay. It's a rich tradition. All right.
Bad boundary situation. That's why these things don't tend to work out.
Right. All right. You date a stripper, you get cheated on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You date an accountant, she does your taxes. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank James, Lights Out, Dark Gable, Tony for coming in here, snorting into the microphone. He's going to fight 1 week from today on Thursday, Best Stand Sports Show, about 5 o'clock. And find a guy 22-0. So it'll be always a good show. So check that out. I want to thank Engineer Anderson for doing a fabulous job back from Betty Ford. I want to thank, who else we thank? Brian for doing a great job on the phones all week long. Engineer Chris, producer Ann, and of course Junior producer Lauren for doing a whale of a job, except for she should have put James Tony's actual record on this cheat sheet.
She assumed you knew it, I think.
She's coming. All right. So until next... Well, she assumed I know his name, too, but I got this at the top. So until next time, this is Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I'm a veteran. See, that's why they call me Dark Gable. I'm very able.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.